Fancy a game?
Technically correct.
Hard shell, soft shell, different types of meats, different types of cheeses.
With Tyler Bischoff.
Chaos.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Will you be a lousy scab or will you be a man?
Wink Adams, you guys have angered me. Today is... It wasn't good. Today is the start of Lights FC's quest to actually win something. DJ Ocho is going to join us as he starts his Rocket League tournament for Lights FC. The Raiders made a bunch of moves yesterday. I'm not sure if they actually got that much better on the season, though. But I do want to start with the potential, maybe, for the most ridiculous college football season as far as scheduling goes. Brett McMurphy, who writes for Stadium, they did a survey of over 100 athletic directors about the upcoming college football season. And first off, I should say an overwhelming number of the athletic directors expect there to be a season. There isn't very much pessimism as far as will there be a college football season from athletic directors right now. But they have some crazy ideas as far as how this season might actually work out. If we go back, earlier this week, we had Matt File on, who is the new strength and conditioning coach for UNLV, and one of the biggest concerns that he had was essentially getting the players back in shape once we're allowed to have sports again, right? Like, you can't go from self-isolation to playing college football in a week, right? You're going to have time between that, and if college football teams aren't allowed to start practicing or just training or whatever until mid-August, then getting them ready for the start of the season seems like it's going to be impractical, right? Like, it's not going to be possible to have the first week or maybe even the second week if they can't get back to practicing until August. So one idea, which is maybe the most obvious idea, is to simply push the season back a month or two. So you'd start in October and you'd end in early March. You'd essentially have a very similar schedule to what college basketball plays at the moment. And in that scenario, we would pretty much have the college football playoff happen and then the NCAA tournament for basketball start right afterwards if both were to happen, or start in October, I should say. So that's sort of the one that makes is the most logical one, I guess, is, oh, well, we can't play yet. Let's just push everything back 2 months. Maybe you have to sacrifice some bowl games along the way because maybe you can't play them all at, you know, in March now, but that makes the most sense. Crazier ideas, though, is if the fall semester of college football is wiped out, and if fall semester is just wiped out for colleges in general, right? Like, if we get to September, August, September, and like colleges aren't allowed to open again and they're just doing online only stuff, some athletic directors think it would be feasible and that they should do this would be to just move college football entirely to the spring semester. Start in January, you'd have your college football playoff in May of 2021.
The XFL is not going to be happy about that.
And what I thought was interesting was some of the quotes from the athletic directors. It was all anonymous, but some of the quotes from the athletic directors basically explained why, if that's what they can do, they're going to do it. First AD said, would that be the preferred situation? Absolutely not. But the lights have to be kept on somehow. Another athletic director said, I think being open to a non-traditional season is a must for athletic departments to survive. So we've got athletic directors talking about survival and just keeping the lights on. These colleges are going to do whatever they can to actually have a college football season. They already lost a big chunk of money from the NCAA tournament getting canceled. Losing the football season would be a killer. So for these programs, getting a football season, even if it's in the spring, even if it's January to May, is absolutely worth it. All of the complications they would have with trying to schedule everything between January and May and bowl games and the college football playoff and just teams in general needing availability for where they're playing, like, all of that is worth it to have the college football season because every game is revenue and they need all of that they can, especially after losing the NCAA tournament. Because we've mentioned it a few times, but like, if there's not a football season, like, there's not going to be college athletics. Like, everything's going to be gone. Like, we're going to lose, like, they'll do what they can to keep football and basketball around, but everything not football and basketball, like, You're not going to have swimming and diving and tennis at UNLV if there's not a football season, right? Like, that's the stuff that's going to end up being gone. So they're going to do what they can to actually have some sort of college football season, even if it's in May, or through May, I should say, of 2021. So,
man.
Yeah, I don't know. There was one other idea that I thought there's no way it happens because it's extremely dumb, but there was some athletic directors would want to try, like, under the scenario where college campuses are still closed in the fall, they would want to try to get an exception for student athletes so that they could come practice and play. There's no way that happens. Like, that's one of the dumbest things. Like, college campuses are closed. Yeah, bring me in 100 kids. We're going to endanger them so we can have football games.
Not just endanger them. The one thing they get is a free education. Okay, but there's a lot of stipulations on that, and you have to endanger yourself.
Yeah. So, like, there's no way that happens. Like, what are they going to get, an executive order that college football is essential?
God, I hope Appalachian State has done its testing well, because that's who you open the season against.
So the scary part of this for me is just simply the idea that athletic directors are wondering what's going to happen to their football season in the fall. Like, we're sitting here, April just started, right? Like, we should have the Final Four should be tomorrow, right? We missed out on the Final Four. We are missing out on the NBA and NHL right now, but those leagues are still trying to figure out, hey, how can we come back, right? Major League Baseball, can we start our season in June? Can we start our season in July, right? Like, that's what we're talking about for sports right now. But these are athletic directors that are worried that they might not be able to play college football until next year, next calendar year, right? These are athletic directors that are thinking, like, yeah, maybe we can start in October, right? Like, that's nightmare stuff for sports. If we're not going to have stuff until October or even until 2021 actually comes around, like, we're hoping the NBA gets saved by coming to Vegas and just playing a big postseason tournament, Thomas and Mack and Cox Pavilion. But if we end up with no sports for the rest of the calendar year, God, nightmare. There was I cannot remember who tweeted it, but there was a thread on Twitter that was basically like, sports is a highlight of a functioning society, right? Like, if you're a functioning society, you get to the level where you have sports. And right now, we are not in a functioning society. So the idea of having sports, like, there needs to be some sort of reality check that it's not going to happen until this society is actually functioning again. And right now, we're not at that level. And again, the question is, when do we become a functioning society? I don't think a lot of people actually have an answer for that. But we've essentially devolved to a point where you can't have sports right now because we don't function in so many other ways that are much more important than having sports.
God, that's depressing.
It is.
All right.
I'm sorry. Now, one last thing on this, because we'll talk about UNLV in specific as far as the season goes.
I'm just gonna go set up the show over here.
You want to go smoke?
Yeah. Like, I need something. Like,
all right. Here's some optimism for you.
Oh, thank God.
If the college football season has to be moved to the spring semester, UNLV could probably play all their games at Allegiant Stadium, right?
Still not open.
Like,
the roof's still not on.
That's true. Like, surely
that would be the ultimate, like, F you to, like, UNLV is already, did they ever work out if UNLV's allowed to play? It's
no, they haven't figured that out yet.
Okay. Stadium is still not open. What? What's the plan?
Sam Boyd? A lot of social distancing in the crowd at Sam Boyd Stadium anyway. So.
Yeah, I was going to say. And everybody was wearing masks. And I guess they were paper bags, but.
Good enough. That'll work. Yeah, UNLV, the safest. UNLV football is the safest place to be right now. You can watch those games, no problem. Here's my thing, though. I think this is almost the worst possible time for this if you're UNLV football. I think it's the second worst possible time. But, like, think about where UNLV football is right now as a program. You just hired a new head coach. You've got a new practice facility open. You're supposed to be playing in a brand new stadium this year. We had Matt File on, and he was talking about the momentum of the program, right? You just brought in a great recruiting class. Like, UNLV is sitting here. They have a chance to be good. Like, they have a chance to actually go from being one of the worst Division I programs to being a respectable Division I program, being a respectable Mountain West program. they've got everything working for them at the moment, but then there might not be a season for this to actually happen. Now, I don't think this season, though, like, let's go under the scenario that, like, this college football season doesn't happen. I don't know that this season is the worst one to miss if you're UNLV, because A, they're projected to be an underdog in every single game. There's going to be a lot of losing on the schedule. So all the quote-unquote momentum that they've built up this offseason is going to be gone as soon as they're 0-7, right? Like, the schedule is not going to be nice to UNLV this year. So they lose the college football season. 2021 might be good for UNLV. You come back, you still got the momentum, and you didn't lose any games yet. If the football program still survives through there.
Is this the Otzelberger has never lost?
Correct. Otzelberger has never lost. He's never not made the NCAA tournament for UNLV, which we can do that also with Patrick McCall. If there's no NBA champion this year, Patrick McCall will have won every NBA title since he entered the league still. He's 3-for-3 in his fourth year. It might get wiped out.
He's going to somehow sign a 10-day contract with the Bucks just so he can keep the streak alive.
Can you sign 10-day contracts right now?
I mean, there's not a whole lot else to do.
I mean, he's still on the Raptors. Like, not that anybody thinks they're going to win it, but they're going to get a first-round bye. And if they come to Vegas and it's like, all right, let's play some one-game series to decide a champion, the Raptors could win the damn NBA title.
That would make me very sad as a Milwaukee Bucks fan.
You should be sad. All right, coming up next, the Raiders made a whole bunch of moves yesterday. It's a very strange April 2nd day of moves for the Raiders. We'll figure out if they got any better.
Check out the podcast on lvsportsnetwork.com. Bischoff's Briefs.
I went on the internet this week.
Oh, God.
And I found this.
Bischoff's Briefs.
There's a lot of porn piling up on the internet. It doesn't download itself.
Bischoff's Briefs.
I think I get it. I think I get it.
The Raiders signed Demarius Randle.
Why did you say that so confused?
Because it's spelled...
It's spelled very weird. A lot of A's in Demarius Randle's name.
Well, but it's I-O-U-S.
Yeah.
So it's literally Marius.
Yeah.
Like, Gloria. Like, I don't know. It's... I've never actually seen someone spell a name that ends in... us that way.
So, safety that has played 5 years in the NFL for the Browns and the Packers. He's got some good numbers over the course of his career. He has 14 picks over 5 seasons, 47 pass breakups over 5 seasons. Pro Football Focus says he would have had the best coverage rating of any player on the Raiders last season. So pretty strong numbers for a free agent and one that's available this late. Looks like a solid pickup, better than Jeff Heath. The one issue with him is last season was his worst career year. He missed 4 games because of injury. He missed a 5th game because we don't really know. He was disciplined, right? He missed, didn't travel to, I think it was when they played the Steelers last year, didn't travel, and it was just, wasn't an injury. It was just something happened during the week. So he missed 5 games last year between injury and suspension. He didn't have any interceptions last season, only 6 pass breakups. Those were both career lows for him. He isn't old. He's going to be 28 next season, so not exactly young either. So looks like a solid signing. As of now, I assume he's starting next to Jonathan Abram, that you're going to Demarius Randle and Jonathan Abram as your 2 starting safeties. Maybe Jeff Heath is better, but I assume it's going to be Demarius Randle. And he comes in at $3.3 million. So he's not all that expensive either. I like this deal overall. You're probably in a better situation if Demarius Randle is your 3rd safety, right? But he doesn't necessarily have to be your 3rd safety. We'll see. He doesn't cost you that much. He doesn't exactly fix your secondary either, but I like the signing of Demarius Randle.
How many safeties are on this team?
More than they had. It's safeties, tight ends, and offensive guards. They've got about 15 of each.
I just don't understand. How are they bad? The same principle that they have with quarterbacks.
Like, they also have a lot of those, too.
We'll decide a ton of them. None of them are good, but eventually it'll all work out. The Raiders are not signing Eli Apple.
That's
what? the bleep happen?
So that's according to Adam Schefter.
No one else wants him.
The Raiders and Eli Apple were not able to finalize their contract agreement. We don't actually have a reasoning behind this.
Like, I fired my agent.
Like, I don't know exactly what happened there. But the Raiders were supposed to be signing Eli Apple to a one-year deal for $6 million. He was their consolation prize in free agency because at the cornerback position, they missed on Byron Jones, the number one free agent. They missed on Chris Harris, the number one or number two free agent cornerback. And they lost out trying to trade for Darius Slay. The Eagles came in and stole him. So they missed out on the three best corners they could have added during the offseason, and they got Eli Apple. He was essentially next in line, but now he's gone. So cornerback-wise, they don't have much. Right now, though, the Raiders kind of suddenly actually have a decent amount of cap space, right? They created $9 million more by restructuring Gabe Jackson's deal. They now have $6 million more because Eli Apple's not coming. Granted, they spent half of that on Demaryius Randall, and they should have been somewhere around $4 or $5 million before those changes. So they're in the ballpark of like $15 million in cap space. Looking at free agency right now, there's not a bunch of big names left out there. Jadeveon Clowney is the one name that you look out.
Jameis Winston, Cam Newton.
There's not a bunch of good names that are out there. Jadeveon Clowney is the one guy that you might spend
LASIK,
a bunch of money
man.
On. That is true. He did get LASIK. And you don't have to pay for it either. It comes with LASIK.
Is it? By the way, why did he wait to get LASIK this offseason?
I was trying to convince the Bucks to keep him. He's like, wait. I know I threw 30 picks, but what if I get LASIK?
Didn't need it.
He just told him. He didn't even get it. He just told him he was getting it.
No. Noah Javis. He went ahead and got it. Didn't need it. He had a laser shot into his eye because he's like, this seems like a good decision at the time.
It was. It was a great decision. But throw away the quarterbacks. Jadeveon Clowney is really only the free agent out there that you would spend a lot of money on. So conceivably, they could get Jadeveon Clowney. I doubt they do that. I would assume, like, they've got to get a cornerback. Like, that's what they've got to do at this point because we all assume they're going to draft one in the first round. But, like, you look at the cornerbacks on the roster right now, it's Trayvon. Like, the only experience you have is Trayvon Mullen played half of a season last year, and he was good in that half of a season. But that's it. Like, that's, you're talking about Isaiah Johnson, who like is your number two corner at the moment, and he barely played last season. Like, you do not have any proven NFL corners on your team. Eli Apple's not a star, but at least you know Eli Apple was a capable cornerback in the NFL. Like, you could put him on the field and your defense isn't terrible.
You go with a, like, you change your defense to a base 3-3-5 and you play all your safeties.
They're not all good, though.
It can't be any worse than it was last year.
I mean, it could, right?
No, because remember they upgraded the second three in the 3-3-5.
That is true. The linebackers are much, much better now. That is true. You got three linebackers on the field, though. That's a terrible decision. They only got two good ones.
Two of them are good.
Yeah, get the third one off the field. I don't know who you replace him with. Let Max Crosby just go play linebacker.
Well, technically, Nesib is a linebacker, so you have him just... So basically,
right,
it's
that,
a 4-2. Okay, it's a 4-2-5.
That works. But they've got to get a cornerback, because like, we assume they're going to draft
one. They're going to draft one.
But even if you draft one, you're talking about a rookie cornerback, Trayvon Mullen, who's in his second year after playing 7 or 8 games, and then Isaiah Johnson, who played like 6 snaps on defense last year, as your top 3 cornerbacks. Like...
And their best safety is good at hitting people.
Yeah, and he's only played like 2 quarters.
He's good at hitting people and dislocating his own shoulder.
Yeah, so like you've got to get a corner. Like I think they've got to sign one too. Because like, sure, you might go in and your ideal situation is Trayvon Mullen and your first round cornerback are both awesome. But like you can't count on that. There's no way you can go into a season counting on those two guys to be your starting corners. They've barely played or haven't played at all. So... They got to sign
Joyner
somebody.
Still on the team?
Well, yeah, but he's the slot corner. I'm just talking about the main 2 corners. Joyner's going to play a ton as the slot corner, but he's either slot corner or safety. I don't think they have any plans to play him at regular corner. I guess, hell, maybe they might. So you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe they will. Corey Littleton's going to play in slot corner for this team.
Might be an improvement. The WNBA will postpone the season.
It wasn't official yet, even though everyone pretty much assumed it. But May 15th was supposed to be the start of the season. The Aces' first game was supposed to be May 17th. Training camp was scheduled to get started soon, so they're officially delaying it. No timetable for when they want it to be back. But my question, if you were running a sport, would you prefer to be in the position of the NBA or NHL where you're almost done with your season and you're just trying to figure out any way to finish your playoff format? Or would you rather be WNBA, Major League Baseball, or like Major League Soccer, where you haven't started or you've played like 1 week of games and you're just sort of sitting here looking like, I don't know when the hell we're going to start. Like, which one would you rather be?
Me, I'd rather be the we're waiting to start rather than, okay, here's how we're going to fudge the playoffs. And then meanwhile, none of the fans are going to be happy. The team that wins fans, they'll be kind of happy, except that they're going to constantly get berated for. It wasn't a real championship. Yeah, no. What I want is, all right, we started late. Cool your jets.
Yeah, I think that would be preferable. Like, I think that's the much better option. And, like, the WNBA doesn't – we talked about Major League Soccer earlier this week. It's not – it's only 30-something games. So, conceivably, you know, condensing the schedule is a little bit easier. Whereas Major League Baseball, they got to figure out how to play 162. Like, we get Major League Baseball, it's going to be like a 100-game schedule. If that.
I want 81 so badly.
Yeah, be nice.
I mean, I know that the owners will never actually go for it because they're fine with empty stadiums.
They make money on TV.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sitting here like, I don't need 162 games to know the Mariners are not going to win. Like, there are teams that I'm like, we can eliminate them by the All-Star break. Can we just do that? Can we condense... Is there some type of sports schedule where if you lose so many games, you just don't play the rest of your games? Like,
But what happens, like, if you're out of it, but somebody else is actually good and you're supposed to play them?
That just counts as a W for everybody. Okay. Like,
that can't be fair. The Mariners win a game every now and then.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes. The worst teams still win like 70.
The Marlins?
Yeah, they don't count. They're Triple A.
The Raiders are bringing back Jordan Devey.
Here's one of those guards. Mike Garofolo reporting that he is a backup guard. So you've got Gabe Jackson and Richie Incognito as your starters, though Devey did actually start 4 games last year due to Incognito suspension and some injuries. But they also signed Eric Kush as a backup guard, and they have Denzel Good as well. So they have 3 guys that are backup guards that have basically been sort of like, you can plug that guy in and start him for a few games a year if you get injuries. Presumably they won't keep all 3. Normally you don't keep all 3.
Guards, no.
Yeah.
Normally you need a swing tackle and then a backup tackle.
Yeah, and they still have those things too. Like, this is like they just have a lot of guards now at the same time. So I don't know if one of them, I don't have any idea, but they've got 3 guys.
I'm
like,
trying to think of like a set where you utilize 3 guards, and it's just like in my brain, like there are jumbo and goal line sets where you're using multiple tackles.
Yeah.
There's no system in football where you're like, all right, and so we line up 3 guards.
Line them up as a fullback. So I don't know, but the O-line should be good. The interior is very good. And like you'd take any one of those 3 as your backup guards because they've got experience in the NFL as even starting in some spots. So you take any 3 of Kush, Good, and Jordan Devey as backup guard. So the O-line should be good. The interior is good. Trent Brown should be solid at right tackle. The only real question mark is Colton Miller ever going to be a good left tackle? But he hasn't been that good in 2 years, but he's also not... He's not bad enough to just ruin the offensive line, right? He's below average left tackles. So that's really the only question. It's a good overall unit that even if they get hurt, they should be able to withstand some of it.
It's going to be so much fun watching them run block and then watching pass blocking just, oh man, that's a really clean pocket. Derek Carr fell down. Okay.
So what if, so part of the reason that Josh Jacobs didn't play as much on 3rd downs last year as we expected him to is pass protection, right? They liked their other running backs in pass protection more than Josh Jacobs, and they think he needs to get better at it. What if they're bringing in these guards to line him up in the backfield next to Derek Carr in the shotgun in pass protection?
A, I don't think it will help, but B, oh my God, that's an awesome idea. So there's a Max Protect pass that Aaron Rodgers does all the time, where it's basically you're having both you line up with one wide receiver on each side, and then you basically line up a tackle as your tight end on each side, and you're just sitting there, and those guys just run nine routes, like they just run all the way down. So you have all the time in the world to chuck it as far as you possibly can. That would be awesome if they were like, okay, and in addition to all of this protection, we are also having a floating guard.
Yes.
And when Derek Carr throws it 40 yards into the stands, it's just like,
so we have a five-guard package is what we have here, because we're going to bring in the guards, the backup guards, not the tackles. The backup guards are going to be the fake tight ends, and then we'll bring in Jordan Devey to be our pass-protecting running back.
I would really enjoy, still putting Jason Witten out there, though.
Technically correct. Joining us next is DJ Ocho from Lights FC.
Get in touch with the show on Twitter at @Bischoff_Tyler.
The line, nice ball. Black stays down on Parra. He's into the 18. Eyeing the keeper. Parra, jump! He has scored! 1-0, Lights FC.
You're listening to Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff.
We are replacing our sports with Rocket League. The USL has started a tournament where they are playing Rocket League, and it's approximately 30 of the teams across the USL Championship and USL 1. Playing for Lights FC is the on-field DJ, DJ Ocho. Thank you for joining us today.
Yo, what's up, Tyler? I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me on.
So, how good are you at Rocket League?
You know, that's the question that a lot of people have been tweeting me and sending me DMs, and I'm just kind of like, you know what, I'm gonna let the sticks do the talking for me. You know, win or lose outcome, we're gonna represent Las Vegas there in the USL E Cup for Rocket League.
But you were picked fourth in the USL's power rankings, so you're good at this game. You can tell us
here's,
you're good.
Here's my thing with that. It's cool, but I mean, How many of these guys do we know are good? Is that there's a lot of teams that, you know, and I'll give credit to Tucson. They put a guy who's a national champ. So, I was kind of flabbergasted when Scott was like, oh, I'm picking DJ Ocho, and then he's number fourth. I'm like, well, dude, I mean, are you sure you want to rank me that high? And I'm like, okay, you know what? If that's what you want to rank me at, I'll take it.
We got to take it. We got to be confident now. This is Lights FC's best chance to win something.
I mean, I'm going to try my best. I mean, I can't say, you know, I mean, I'm just going to do what I got to do to represent Las Vegas. And if we can come out with the title, we would come out with the title.
I mean, I have high expectations simply because I watched some of the games from the first day.
Why are you putting the pressure on me, man? It's like, one thing on top of the other, and Ronaldo was like, hey, you got to win. You got to go after it. I'm like, all right. Then I got, you know, some of the players, hey, you got to win, man. You got to win. I'm like, oh, dude, come on. Like, chill, man. It's just a video game.
No, but this is all we have. This is all we have. You have to win.
I mean, the pressure's just, it's getting to me, man. It's getting to me.
No, don't let it get to you. All right. I want to know, how did you get picked? Like, was there a company-wide email that just said, hey, does anyone play Rocket League?
Give credit to our director of communications, Harry, reached out to me. He knows I'm a gamer. And he's like, hey, man, you ever heard of Rocket League? I was like, yeah, I have the game. I've had it since it came out. I've played it casually. He's like, do you want to represent us? And I was like, sure, why not? So that's how it went. Redid the contract that I have with the lights. And, you know, we worked out a little extra side incentive there for me. So, you know, props to Harry and the front office staff, Brett, and everybody over there.
Do you get to trash talk to the people you're playing during this tournament?
I think you can. I mean, I have my headset. I'm going to plug it in. I don't know if they're going to air it or not. I mean, I don't want to say yes and then I get my headset on and I, you know, say some profanities if I get mad or something like that. So I'm just
I'm gonna
play it safe and maybe not use the headset.
No, we want the headset. Like I want you to like somehow the USL has to step in and like give you a red card and be like, whoa, let's calm down there. Let's not hurt everybody's feelings. Like I want them not to step in and punish you.
The last time I got a red card in soccer when I was playing in my my uncle's team on the Sunday league, it wasn't really good. So I'm going to stay away from the red cards.
No, but that's the Lights FC way is getting red cards. You've got to uphold that tradition.
I know it is the Lights FC way, but I mean, I got to play that. I got to usher in a new era here, replacing the sports through esports.
Well, I mean, if you're ushering in a new era, that means you have to win. We're putting the pressure back on you again. You know that.
Oh, man, you guys are just bounty. I mean, I don't know what the odds makers are playing me at the sports book. So it's just more pressure on top of more pressure.
I have you as a massive favorite today.
Oh, geez. Why are you doing that to me, man?
Do you know? Is there a trophy?
I am. You know what? I have no idea. I'm a big wrestling guy. I'd like a belt.
Oh, okay. Well,
All right. Yeah.
That's a better idea.
Yeah. Better.
A belt is just, I mean, if you just, you can wear it around and then people are like, what's the belt for? Hey, look at the belt. That's what I'm the champ for.
Are you going to wear it or are you going to like keep it on your shoulder? Are you a shoulder guy or are you like wear the belt guy?
I'm a shoulder guy. Yeah. I mean, I have my belt here in my apartment and I'm a shoulder guy. I can't do the waist.
You have other championship belts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a WWE guy, so I have some belts here at home that I've purchased on my own, and I'll wear them over the shoulder. I'm a shoulder guy.
Don't say purchase. One.
All right. Let me go back here. I have two belts that I've won. There you go.
Perfect. So, all right, when you win this tournament and you do get a belt out of this, the next time...
You're taking it too far right now.
When you win this game.
No. When you win this tournament and you get the belt for winning this tournament, the next time we actually get Lights FC soccer, A, you need to be on the sideline with that over your shoulder the entire time, but there better be a whole ceremony for you winning this tournament.
If you want to talk to Brett in the front office staff, I'm sure they'll make it happen. I'm already on the sidelines. You were there the other day. When we had the poolside party,
right.
You were there already on the side. So I'm already on the sideline. But, you know, if you want to figure it out with the front office staff, I'll take it either way.
A belt and a banner.
I mean, I don't know about the banner. I mean,
We need a banner. We need to raise a banner for something.
You're putting the pressure back on
I know
me.
I am because you got to win.
Man, I'm already sweating. It's 10:40 in the morning. I'm having my cup of coffee, trying to get here pumped up for the game. You know, we have it at noon today, and you're more pressure. I mean, I had a phone call with Brett this morning. Hey, you know, you got to win. And you guys are getting more. I don't know what to do.
So hold on. You've had conversations with both Brett Lashbrook, the owner, and Eric Winalda, the coach, and multiple players about how you have to win.
Yeah, the pressure is on. It's like, hey man, this is all we have. It's like I'm like, I know it's all we have, but you know, let me at least try to get the first game under my belt, and then we'll see what happens.
This is not what you signed up for.
This is more than DJing, man.
I actually have a DJing question. Has Eric expressed his hate of Pitbull to you?
He is not, but I have sources that have told me that he does not like it. So once we get the season rolling, I think we will have to eliminate Pitbull from the playlist. But
no,
I have
no. You go the opposite. No.
More Pitbull.
No, I can't do that to Eric.
Yes, you can.
Eric.
Him happy is not him winning.
Yeah.
He's him angry. Upset. Like, go watch his games from the 90s. Him angry, good.
I mean, yeah, but he's our coach. You know, you got to give him credit. You know, if he doesn't want something, he doesn't want something. I mean, the previous staff was a little bit, you know, outside the box. But I mean, and I got to respect Eric. You know, hey, I did play his Hell's Bells, you know, every time we come out to the second half. So I got to keep that going.
So just so you know, Winalda doesn't have any idea what's being played half the time because he was on with us one day and was just complaining that we played a Pitbull song for his rejoin. And we were like, that's your goal song. Like, yes. When you guys score, that's the song that plays. He had no idea.
Hey, I was just told, hey, this is our goal song, play it. Hey, all right, you guys want me to play it? Sounds good, I'll do that. So, you know, coming into the season, we were supposed to, you know, change it up. Obviously, you know, because of the virus going on, we're improvising right now. So we'll see. When we come back home for our first home game, we'll have to we'll see what we come up with. Maybe we can come up with something different or something, or keep it the same. We'll see. I'm not gonna go against Ronaldo. He's my guy. I'm sorry.
All right, we'll keep doing that instead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is it a bad sign that he didn't know his own goal song because they weren't scoring goals?
He just won. Look, one thing he came to me and said, he's like, I want Hell's Bells. I'm like, you got it. So every time the team comes out for the second half, that's the song I play, and we let it ride into the start of the second half, and I'm sure you guys have heard it there all the time.
Well, he is DJ Ocho. He is representing Lights FC in the USL E-Cup Rocket League edition. They play at noon today. If you want to watch it, it's on ESPN3 or the Watch ESPN app. DJ Ocho, you got to win today. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. And don't put more pressure on me, please. This is the first time I'm doing something like this, so I'm trying to represent the Lights as much as I could in a good way, all right?
As soon as you hang up, I'm guaranteeing a victory from you today.
Oh, jeez, why are you doing that to me, man?
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
So there's DJ Ocho. So again, if you want to watch that, it's at noon today. I'll be watching it, and you better win. What are you talking about? I watched two of these games from Wednesday, I think it was, and both of them were complete blowouts. Like, it was somebody playing that's good at the game versus somebody that had never played Rocket League before in their lives. So, like, there's a lot of discrepancy in talent going on in this tournament. So I'm kind of thinking he needs to win, like, 12-0 today in the first game and, like, 10-0 in the second game for us to have a real shot here.
I mean, I think that's absolutely doable in the sense that he's played the game before.
He's playing Indy 11 today, and I think it's one of their players. I think it's one of their goalkeepers that's playing it. I don't know if that's a good sign or not. One of the other teams that I watched, the guy that was winning was a sales executive for one of the teams.
That makes sense.
Yeah, just random guy in sales they pulled out to play.
Here's the thing. Athletes think they're good at video games, but if you actually, like, watch them play video games, they're not very good, except for randomly Chad Johnson. That's because he plays...
He's not an athlete anymore, is he?
I mean, he was an athlete.
Actually, he was playing soccer last year, so yeah, he is still technically a pro athlete.
No, but he also is playing FIFA, not football. He's good at a video game, not video games. So it's one of those discrepancies. Like, Alex Smith won the Madden Challenge one year. I believe that was the last time that an athlete won the Madden Challenge.
Why can't he win it now? Shouldn't he be playing now?
Who?
Alex Smith. What else he got to do?
I mean, I believe he still has an infection in his leg.
In his leg? That doesn't affect your Madden skills.
That just sounds...
He should be awesome at Madden.
Oh, man.
Right?
That's got to be, like, the worst thing ever. Because of your team's incompetence, you have an infection in your leg, and then there's a global pandemic.
Yeah, pretty bad. Did you see Teddy Bridgewater said he was getting used or familiar with the Carolina Panthers roster by playing Madden?
See, that one makes sense.
Yeah, like, oh, a new team. Never heard of any of these guys. I'm going to go play Madden.
I want to say Bryce Petty said that he one time, he was like, I'm learning to read defenses playing Madden. And I'm like,
John Gruden needs to sign Bryce Petty so they can have that conversation. I want to hear a quarterback tell John Gruden, all right, so on Madden, this is what the defense did.
I mean, if it works, man.
Coming up next, I am so mad at all of you for yelling about Wink Adams.
Get in touch with the show on Twitter @Bischoff_Tyler.
Rebels had finished running. They had scored an astounding 18 consecutive points in a little less than 3 minutes. building an insurmountable 75-47 lead with 13 minutes left as UNLV simply dominated Duke in every aspect of the game.
You're listening to Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff.
Before we get to UNLV Duke, the Raiders are pledging $1 million to help fight COVID-19. They put out a short statement today saying they're proud to stand alongside the incredible community leaders who are doing everything they can during this time of need. And they'd like to salute Governor Sisolak, Jim Murren, and the entire task force. So no exact details on what that million is going to, but they're donating $1 million.
That is awesome. I will say I have tried to donate blood 5 times in the last, 3 weeks, and every single time they cancel my appointment. And I'm fairly certain it's starting to be like, Jared signed up, okay, let's go ahead and just not have a blood drive there.
Shut this location
down. Yeah, we found out you were coming. No. I'm like, my blood's good.
No, that's debatable.
It's not very oxygenated, but it's good.
So the Raiders are giving $1 million. Jared can't even donate his blood.
All about resources, man.
All right, so thanks to everyone that watched along with us last night, the UNLV Duke game.
It was fun.
On Twitter and Periscope. If you missed it, there is a replay. It's not going away. At @Bischoff_Tyler on Twitter or Periscope. You can go back and rewatch that. So that was a lot of fun. That was the most fun one we did. But I'm mad at all of you people because yesterday I put out one of those build your own starting lineups. You get $15, right? And each player is assigned a certain dollar amount. Did it with UNLV players. Stacey Augman, Larry Johnson are $5 players. Greg Anthony, Albert Miller are $4 players. Pat McCall is a $3 player, all the way down to get some $1 players in there. But all you idiots would not stop complaining that people like Wink Adams or Ricky Sobers were not on the list. And you guys kept complaining because, oh, well, Wink Adams is better than Kevin Kruger and Bryce DeJean Jones and Bryce Hamilton. It's not a list of the top 25 Rebels of all time. That's not what that is. It's a chart that's hopefully showing you former UNLV players that fit into each dollar amount by value. Wink Adams had 3 straight years where he was 14 points per game or higher, right? Wink Adams played in the NCAA tournament. Of course, Wink Adams is better than Kevin Kruger and Bryce Hamilton and Bryce DeJean Jones. That's not what that is about. But you can't have Wink Adams as a $1 player. Otherwise, Wink Adams is going to be on every single roster, and it's not going to be any fun. The whole point of it is supposed to make it slightly difficult for you to actually fill out your starting five. Slightly difficult. You don't just get to pick your favorite players, right? It's supposed to be difficult, so you actually have to build a starting five and put some thought into it.
I had to put on my roster Canadian national team legend Anthony Bennett.
He was popular.
Was he?
Yeah, people liked Anthony. Anthony Bennett was, I executed him perfectly because a lot of people are like, Anthony Bennett, what a bum. But Anthony Bennett was also awesome when he was actually in college at UNLV, and he was $2.
And he also was awesome, or he is awesome, anytime Canada has to play it.
Yes, if it's Canada, Anthony Bennett, you want him on your team. All right, you want to give us your team?
I'd have to go find it.
Oh, you forgot? You had Anthony Bennett.
Yes.
I know you had Sean Marion.
Stacey Augman.
You had Stacey Augman.
Yeah, I gotta go.
You're missing. Who'd you have on the $4 line? And who'd you have on the $1 line?
I don't think I had a $4.
Okay, so you had 2 $3 players. Did you pick Pat McCaw?
No.
Did you pick Anderson Hunt?
I think Robert Smith was one of mine.
Robert Smith was a $2 player.
Okay, then I believe it might have been Anderson. Yeah, it was Anderson Hunt.
So you had Anderson Hunt, Sean Marion, Stacey Augman, Robert Smith, and Anthony Bennett.
Yes.
All right. Don't have any big, bulky centers in there. That's not too bad. All right, here's my team. I only spent $14. Kevin Kruger. Kevin Kruger is my point guard for $1. Anderson Hunt is one of my guards for $3. J.R. Ryder is another guard for $4. Bryce DeJean Jones is my small ball power forward for $1. And Larry Johnson is my lone big man for $5. So only spent $14 there. The reason this is my team, number one, shooting and spacing.
J.R. Ryder shot 40% from three. Kevin Kruger, 37%. Anderson Hunt, 38%. Bryce Dejon Jones is the bum on my team. He shot 34%. And Larry Johnson didn't shoot a lot, but he even hit 35% of his three. So I can put all five on the perimeter if I need to, but mainly what I want to do, A, is run a lot of pick and rolls.
You're going to run a 4-1 offense?
Yes, but what I want to do is put Larry Johnson in the post, throw it into him. Because if Larry Johnson catches in the post against some bum, he's just going to turn and score. You double team him, he's going to pass it out. He's one of the best passers out of the post I've ever seen. Somebody's hitting a wide open three because my guys can shoot. The other way, the reason this is my lineup, it's not the best defensive five you could put, but all of these guys were on good defensive teams. I don't have a weak link on defense. I'm beating all of your starting fives.
Tyler, you're a bitch.